From London, this is the Standard Podcast, and I'm Mark Blunden. It's one of the glitziest weeks in London's style and entertainment calendar, as this year's BAFTA Awards ceremony dovetails with the 40th anniversary of London Fashion Week. On Sunday night, celebrities headed to the annual gala at the Royal Festival Hall on the South Bank. It was a big night for, of course, once more, Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, and also Poor Things, starring Emma Stone, which scooped 7 and 5 awards respectively. Although bucking this season's awards trend, Barbie went home empty-handed. But who were the sharpest dressed stars on the red carpet? It comes as London Fashion Week got into full swing at venues around the capital, with showcases from flagship labels including Burberry, JW Anderson and Simone Rocha, as well as a host of emerging brands and designers. This episode of the Standard Podcast examines not just the bespoke.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Designer creation stars are wearing right now, but also a look ahead to trends to look out for later this year. And hold on to your loafers and suits for the post-pandemic return of Office Core. Now we're joined in the studio by Evening Standard Fashion Director Victoria Moss to discover more. How would you sum up the style vibe? Any themes this year?
People didn't really go for it as much as they have in other award ceremonies this year. It wasn't as kind of zhuzhy as the Golden Globes. The thing is with the red carpet now, it's very much owned by big fashion brands who sort of work with the stars and pay them lots of money. So it's become a very transactional, lucrative environment, which means that sometimes the fashion isn't as exciting as you want it to be.
So how does that work in terms of who wears what?
So brands will have ambassadors. So the stars will be signed with a different designer label. So they're sort of contractually obliged to wear, to dress from a certain brand, which means that kind of in the olden days, you had people taking more risks and just being a bit more interesting and fun with it, whereas now it can be all quite safe and pretty, which is nice, but it's not as good sport, I think.
Ah, so who was wearing what? Or sorry, I should say, who was wearing who?
Who was wearing who, exactly. The Emma Watson in Louis Vuitton, which was this incredible sort of peach one shoulder, big giant puffy, quite 80s shoulder, which was quite similar to her character in Poor Things, which did have incredible fashion in it. So she was great. And Ayo Edebiri, who I'm obsessed with, from The Bear, she was in this very cool Bottega Veneta, sort of peachy colour dress with this sort of extravagant feather boa, which apparently she had someone with her sort of walking around behind her, picking up her feather boa. And Taylor Russell, she's an ambassador for Loewe, and she was in this incredible white Loewe gown, again, with lots of feathers around the waist and the hem.
I feel a bit harsh saying this because obviously everyone made a big effort. But if you had to say in terms of best and worst dressed of the night...
Oh, it's tricky, isn't it? It does always feel mean doing the worst. But I didn't love Emily Blunt in this kind of spangly naked dress, which felt a bit sort of Florida divorcee, but didn't love it. But, you know, she tried.
And what did you love?
I love Margot Robbie did her kind of Barbie style again in Armani, which I just think is quite fun. And I sort of feel like there's the Oscars are next, and then we're probably at the end of her dressing up as Barbie. So I'm enjoying that.
And did anyone go how I might describe as off-piste with their style choice, really went sort of out on a limb?
I wouldn't say massively. Although was Emma Corrin. I mean, they're always in a very fashion-forward, cool look. And they're styled by Harry Lambert, who also styles Harry Styles. And they were in this sort of very cool Miu Miu outfit with like a pair of black knickers and a sort of sheer skirt over the top blue tights, little black crop top with these big giant sort of teal blue bows on each side. So that was, I think, striking and interesting and kind of cool.
And when I finally get my BAFTAs invitation, is the tuxedo still going to be the suit of choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think men on the red carpet, their dressing has very much turned up a notch in sort of recent years. If you look at sort of Timothée Chalamet or last night Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott, you know, they're all, and Barry Keoghan, they are all very fashion-y with their looks, although I would say not as exciting as they have been at previous award ceremonies, but they definitely do a lot more than just a kind of standard tuxedo. Andrew Scott was in this head-to-toe red look. Ryan Gosling was in this white Gucci suit with kind of red piping all around it, which was fun. So few kind of classic tuxedos these days.
Let's go to the ads. Coming up, all the latest from the start of London Fashion Week. Why not hit follow? In the meantime, give us a rating.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What are you covering in Monday's Standard for London Fashion Week in the paper and online?
The big show today, so Monday is Burberry Day, essentially, and they have put up this giant tent in Victoria Park. Last season, they were in Finsbury Park. This season, they're going east. So there's a big tent in Victoria Park where their show will be this evening, and that's really the hot ticket, and it's always Barry. He's an ambassador for Burberry, so I'm sure he'll be there on the front row. I'm sure they'll be trying to mop up lots of the BAFTA stars from last night to get them there as well. So that will be very starry. And Daniel Lee, their creative director, this is his third show. And there's a little bit of pressure on him because Burberry's results haven't been great. There's a lot kind of going on there, and it'll be exciting to see.
What's happening with Burberry's designs these days?
So they've got Daniel Lee, who was previously at Bottega Veneta and was very much credited with sort of reviving that Italian brand. And so with Burberry, he's essentially been tasked with the same thing, to kind of make it modern, make it cool. And so he's sort of, you know, reinvented the trench coat, and he's brought back this sort of big, bold blue Burberry check, and he's turned this, they call it night blue, he's really made that the colour of Burberry. So it's exciting what he's doing, and it's interesting.
What is the global significance of London Fashion Week when you sort of mix it in with Milan and Paris and New York?
London has always punched above its weight creatively. We don't have the same money, and we don't have the same sort of manufacturing infrastructure that they have in France and Italy. But what we do have is these amazing fashion schools, Central St Martin's, London College of Fashion, and we essentially supply most of the big global houses around the world with their design talent. And, you know, kids come here from all over to get into those schools. So London Fashion Week is this very exciting creative hotbed, but it's also representative of the British fashion industry, which contributes about $21 billion to the economy. We employ nearly 900,000 people in this country in the fashion industry, which is huge. So London Fashion Week is really the kind of banner event for that, and it's profiling and showing off these amazing independent small businesses who are really punching above their weight and doing incredible things on sort of tiny shoestring budgets.
Who are some of the models and celebs we can expect to see on the Froes this week?
Already we had Rosamund Pike was at Molly Goddard over the weekend, which was fun. And then Erdem had Kristin Scott Thomas and Lily James. Burberry will be the big one tonight. I mean, last season they had everybody from Skepta to Damon Albarn. They always get a really buzzy, fun front row.
You've been a long-time writer covering London Fashion Week. In your experience, how has everything changed in terms of the infrastructure, especially since COVID and the way things are done, or has everything gone back to pretty much the way it was?
There was certainly a shift after COVID. Obviously, they couldn't have shows and there were a lot of digital presentations, which is still the case. So I think what's that allowed brands who can't necessarily afford to put onto a show, they can still be part of London Fashion Week with a digital presentation or create a video content. And I think the biggest change really with Fashion Week is that it's gone from being this very closed, small shop of industry insiders to being open up to the world. So when I first went, you made notes and people sat on the front row sketching and writing notes about the clothes. No one had cameras. And now everyone has a phone and everyone's videoing everything and sharing it instantly on social media. I did a piece for ES Magazine on the 40 years of London Fashion Week. And I spoke to Larry Turner, who was my sort of predecessor in the early 90s. And back then, you know, you went to the shows, you had your photographer that you went with, and they would sort of have a makeshift dark room in a bathroom to try and pick out the negatives from the pictures to send to the newsroom. You would send your copy down the phone, whereas now you tap it out on your iPhone and it instantly gets put up on the internet. So it is technology and the kind of digital era has really shifted how Fashion Week happens.
So these shows are all focusing on autumn and winter, even though it's a very long way off. What are we all going to be wearing in autumn, winter 24?
There have been two big themes which have come through. And one is this definitely a post-pandemic trend, which is this kind of return to what they're calling office core, which is lots of tailoring. Loafers are everywhere, shirts, blazers, skirts, trousers. And it's very much moving away from that real streetwear dominance of tracksuits and trainers. You know, there was one point where every show was styled with a trainer, and now it's very much the opposite case. Smart shoes, loafers, Mary Janes, they're all much more prevalent than trainers. And the other thing that's quite fun is there's a definite nod to that sort of Saltburn style, that kind of posh country house, kind of slightly over the top, glamorous, aristocratic sort of styling, dressing happening.
Victoria, you mentioned about Burberry. What are going to be some of the other headline events in terms of household name designers?
So Erdem showed at the British Museum over the weekend, and he was actually in the Parthenon Gallery where all the Elgin Marbles sculptures are, which was slightly controversial, and he's upset the Greek cultural minister. But that was a beautiful show. Roxanda, who's another big name, her show was over the weekend at the Tate Britain, which was really beautiful. Simone Rocha showed.
What about for up-and-coming designers from London? Is there an opportunity for them to showcase their work, or is it hard to get a foothold and hard to get that coverage and attention?
Yes, definitely. I think London has always been a place for emerging talent, and the British Fashion Council do have a great programme of supporting that talent and getting them to be able to showcase their work. Paolo Carzana is one that everyone's talking about. Delora Fintecoglu, she showed last night. She didn't show last season because she couldn't afford to put on a show, basically. And she had a very sort of fabulous, starry show last night. She had Hari Neff opened her show. Connor Ives is another name who everyone's watching. Saul Nash, Kasna Asker. And there's a real gamut of different styles and different ideas and lots of kind of exciting newness happening.
It's reported a lot on the emergence of these smart materials, sensors in everything. Is that particularly prevalent to any of the events of you've been to, or are designers still relying on what you might describe as traditional materials? And is there anything that's kind of particularly popular at the moment?
It's difficult with all those technical fabrics because they're often made of sort of plastic polyesters, which is sort of obviously quite problematic. I think what lots of London designers are looking to doing is upcycling and recycling and using dead stock or taking old pieces of clothing and turning them into something new. And I think that is something that certainly the new generation of designers are very hot on, that trying to be more sustainable and using what already exists rather than creating more and more new fabrics.
Thank you. There's much more on both these stories in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.